Welcome to another episode of The Cubic Report. With me today is a guest that I've had previously last year on September 1st, 2023. His name is Joseph Mowowo from Malawi. We are so very grateful to have him visiting with us again. And one reason that we want to do another podcast is because he has been promoted to a very, very interesting post, he and his wife, in the work that he does. But he is the LifeNet's business manager for Malawi. He had previously been the accountant for the United Church of God. And we have developed a friendship with him over the years. We haven't seen him in 4 years except for right here on podcasts and telephone calls. So welcome, Joseph. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Victor. And I'm happy to be with you again. As you have said, we have been together, I think, for the last 10 years. We haven't seen each other for the past 4 years. But technology has usually bring us to closer, and we're able to talk to each other through the technology. So once again, thank you very much for having me on this podcast.
Well, this podcast is so very, very clear. I feel like I'm right there in the same room with you. And we're making local recordings here, so we should sound like we're in the same room. But Joseph has written a number of books on leadership. He does so many things that I'm always just amazed as to all that he does. He has ventures in business, in agriculture, education, leadership, and he's quite a capable writer. I have really appreciated reading some of the manuscripts that he has sent to us. But today, what we wanted to talk about is a new appointment that he has received, and I'll just read it to you first, and then I'd like for him to comment about it. He had written to us a few weeks back here to say to Beverly and me, "This is to let you know that we," meaning he and his wife, "have been appointed as a couple to serve as Secretary General of the International Confederation of Christian Family Movements for Africa." And of course, this is quite a title here, and I didn't know what exactly it meant, but the more I read about what it is, it's just very, very interesting because it has to do with the development of family, which is a very important part of the work that we do. He said, "We will hold this position for the next 5 years. The position is not full-time, but will involve considerable amount of travel. Therefore, all that I am doing currently, including the work for LifeNets, is not affected." So he will continue to help us out with LifeNets. But the thing is, he talked about travel. And when he mentioned about this role, I thought, is it just for Malawi? It's called international, but you know, that's international, just within Malawi too. I wasn't sure. But the more he talked about it, he talked about travel to Zimbabwe, Uganda, Nigeria, Mozambique, and perhaps other areas in the work that he has done. He continues to, in his announcement to me, "As a couple, we consider it an honor to serve in God's vineyard through family movements. The induction was conducted on the 27th of April, 2024 in Lilongwe, where we received our certificate of appointment." And then he concludes with, "We shall need your continued prayers as we perform this task." And we are just so very honored for Joseph to, along with his wife, to have this role. So I would like you to tell us a little bit about what you will be doing. What is this Secretary General of the International Confederation of Christian Family Movements in Africa? Because of any subject, you know, Africa has many, many challenges. Family is certainly one of them, very much so in holding family together, and to see the tragedy of so many families that are not together as being the basis of so many societal and economic problems in the country. But Joseph, tell us what this is, what's it for, what does it do, how many people are involved? So let us know a little bit more.
Yeah, thank you very much for that kind introduction. Indeed, Christian Family Movement is a movement that is established within the Catholic Church, which deals with families. As much as it's for the Catholics, but it also deals with quite a range of denominations across the board, because the basis actually is to protect the family. Any nation is actually the best foundation is the family. Where you talk at a church or wherever, if the family is disjointed, it means the whole spectrum will also be disjointed. So the Christian Family Movement is an international movement, which is actually currently headquartered in Mexico, because that's where the president comes from. And it is also within the all the continents of the world, including Africa, where we happen to be the Secretary General. Now, as Secretary General of the International Confederation of Christian Family Movements, basically we are the administrators looking into how policies are going to be implemented, if there are any meetings, how do we do them, if we are to spread it to other countries, we need to make all those arrangements. So basically, as the Secretary Generals, we are literally the administrators of the whole movement in Africa for the next 5 years. So our job mm-hmm. description is quite long, but basically we are the administrators of the movement in Africa. We have to coordinate all the African countries that are there, even having correspondences with our international presidency, which is based in Mexico. So currently, I think that's what I can say in brief.
Okay. Well, I would like to know more about just at street level, at the level of, you know, people that you interact. What is it that you're trying to accomplish with families? Is it education? You know, what is it?
Basically, the mission statement actually says, be doers of the word and not just hearers, which is James 1:22. Basically, we need to act as a model. How does the Christian family look like? And we need to portray that mission to our fellow Christians, not only those in the family, but also in the young people, in the older people. So you cut across. We need to portray the or promote the Christ-centered type of family, where each family knows that God is the center of us. It started in Eden, so we need just to carry on that mission. We need also to help individuals and their families to live a Christian faith in their everyday life. So it's like every day you need to portray the image of Christ as a couple. Last but not least, we need to improve also the society through our actions. That is love, service to the other people, provision of education, and all those things that goes with family life. At the end of the day, we need to establish the consciousness of that family, both as a social consciousness, but also as a family consciousness. People need to understand or to be driven by their own conscience. If whatever they're doing, is it correct? For example, if I leave my wife today and go and marry another wife for some unknown reason, what does my conscience say? Am I really doing the right thing here? Or I'm only accelerating some of the problems that I'm having? We also need to develop a responsible, concerned, happy family. As much as families are supposed to be happy, but we find that they may not be as responsible as they ought to be. For example, God gives us children, and he definitely wants us to take care of them. And taking care of them is not only taking them to education or giving them the best education or giving them the best clothes you can have, but also how responsible are they? What type of legacy are they going to leave when you are gone? Because if you are gone, the name that will be there will be you. So we need to develop that. And we, as a movement, we actually assist families to make sure that they are responsible for their children, so that their children as well get be responsible. But also as a movement, we need to offer opportunities to each other. We call it hospitality. We need to open our doors to other families that need our assistance, whether it's livelihood or whether it's any other sphere that they need assistance. Maybe they need counseling. We need to open those doors to our fellow families, whether they are Christian, Muslim, or whatever. But we just need to open to them and make sure we assist each other. In that way, we'll make this world a better world to live in. And even when we are gone, we are assured that we have left a world that is a better world to live on. So basically, that's the mission or the objectives of this Christian Family Movement. And we as leaders, we are taking a leading role to make sure that this happens. Not only us teaching them, but also us living by example.
Now, you talk about this being a movement. That's a very interesting word, because sometimes the word movement contains in it a certain aggression. I know you talk about movement. But I know that this is a peaceful movement and very, very, passive. Passive the standpoint of teaching, it's called a movement because there's a certain force behind it. You mentioned how you work with other groups, Muslims as well as other Christians. Could you maybe elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, as much as we are a Christian movement, as much as it belongs to the Catholic Church, but we should also bear in mind that where you live, your neighbors cannot be of the same denomination. You will meet a lot of people across the board. And you need to set example. In fact, the first example you need to set is within your own community, where you have a variety, a diverse of people. You have all kinds of people. Now, they need to see, if you are saying we are leading an example, if you are bringing consciousness in the family life, you are not only directing this to other people. After all, we live more with other people than at the church. Most of us go to church on Sabbath or on whatever day we go. You'll be there for a maximum of 1 hour, a maximum of 2 hours, which means the next 22 hours, you are actually living in your neighborhood. Now, people need to understand what is it that families can make a better world. And that's one of those words is called a movement, because if you only make it as a society, then it's limited to certain people. But if you say movement, it means you are moving with other people, and those other people may not necessarily that subscribe to your own belief. There are a lot of people. Mm-hmm. For example, if we talk issues of child drug abuse, it's not only the Christians that are affected. Other churches are affected as well. So as a movement, we need to make sure that we assist in those areas.
Well, this is so enlightening to hear you describe movement in that way, because, you know, we hear about brother movements and we see marches and we see protests, and that kind of thing. And here's a very very positive movement, you know, working with society and people in it. So what type of specific activities do you have as part of church services or a club afterwards or something midweek where you gather people together or special lectures or seminars? How do you promote your ideas and thoughts of this movement?
In fact, we have two pillars. We have what we call the spiritual encounter, and we have the social encounter. The spiritual encounter is when now you gather as families. Recommendation that you gather in a family of maybe four at someone's house, because the issue is we also need to integrate and know each other well, so we can only do that at our families. So you gather, you share the word of God, you discuss a lot of things concerning your spiritual life, share experiences, and all those things that are needed. Then we have the social encounter. The social encounter, now you take it now as a social, because what actually happens is during the spiritual encounter, you discuss many of the Bible. You may not discuss things that are outside that. But now, when you come to after the meeting, normally say, we need to share. We need to share a food or and a drink. So that's a social encounter. That's the time now when you can discuss issues that are external that affect us. So you may say, okay, what did you meet at your workplace? How do you handle this situation in your workplace? How do you assist other people who are in these problems? So those two, normally they go hand in hand, but sometimes you actually split them to say, okay, we want to assist, let's say, family Y, which has no house. So it means we have to come together, find resources, and go and assist those people. Maybe one may not have a school uniform, a family may not have a school uniform for their children. You can bring the resources together and assist those people. So that's the social part of it. So we apart from sharing the word of God, we also assist other people where they need be. And if we just see that there's a need, because for us to arrive at all those things, we use the See, Judge, Act principle. I don't know whether you have heard
about
that?
It. Explain
see,
it, please.
See, like looking, then judge where you actually deliberate and you take an action. So, for example, if someone is saying they are going on, they go to bed without eating, it means we have seen it. But the issue is, why have they reached that state? So that when you take an action, we need to take an action that is holistic without leaving anything. Because sometimes you say, okay, fine, they are not having their meals because maybe the husband is a drunkard, for example. It means the major problem here is not going to bed hungry, but because someone is being irresponsible. So we need to treat that responsibility. Make that person understand that drinking beers without taking responsibility, you make other people suffer as well. So you're not responsible. So we have to cure that. After curing that, then we'll say, okay, fine. For today, maybe we've given you 3 bags of maize for you to live on, but make sure you do this. So that's the See, Judge, Act principle.
Are you able to, from the history of the movement, to see some progress and to see good habits develop and to see good fruit?
Yes. In fact, ourselves as a couple who have been in the movement for close to about 18 years, somewhere there, we have actually seen such type of progress. We have seen people actually really turning things around and becoming a better couple, becoming better husbands, becoming better wives. And at the end, they find that even their children now, they are actually turning around and say, okay, this is the way we're supposed to live as Christians or as a people in the society that can contribute positively into the community. So we've really seen that even ourselves, even personally, as a couple, we have actually grown, I think, tremendously in our spiritual life. Through the movement, we have really grown. Apart from that, okay, we have held some position, but we have really, really grown. So positive changes are there. Of course, we should also bear in mind that changes in behavior takes longer, but it's through our persistence and dedication that we are able to see those positive outcomes.
One thing that's very intriguing to me is when you mentioned all these countries, how many people are you kind of accountable to or look to you for this leadership? What countries and how many people are involved? This is a very interesting statistic and fact to us.
Yeah. If I talk of only Malawi, we are looking at plus or minus 400 couples. As of now, I don't have statistics from other countries, but we're actually talking of thousands of people here who will be looking to us for the leadership. Yeah, so for Malawi, it's a 400 plus couples that are there.
And your travels to other countries, is overseeing or is it cooperating with, or how is it how does that work?
Yeah, basically, as the continental team, we need to visit the movements in other countries and see how they are doing. If they need some guidance or they need some direction, But also generally, we need also to see how the movement is going on the ground. We cannot depend only on the reports that we get from them, because at the end of the day, we're also accountable to the international team. So we mm-hmm. need to give reports that are real, not mm-hmm. something that we just... I think that's an obligation for any leader to go and visit in the Christian world. So you're a frog, you need to visit them. They need to feel
yes.
that you are part and parcel of them rather than just mm-hmm. making a video call or just any other letter. So it's one of our responsibilities that we need to visit those countries. But also, as you would notice that currently in Africa, I think we are only active in Malawi, Uganda, Nigeria, and Cameroon, which means we also need to spread this movement in other countries. So mm-hmm. apart from visiting them to and encourage them, we also need to plant the seed to other countries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to be involved in planting some of this movement in other places? What is the plan for the next year or two?
For immediate action, let's say in the next 6 months, we need to visit countries that are surrounding Malawi, like Zambia, Mozambique, Tanzania, and by extension, Zimbabwe. The reason will be to introduce the movement and give them the basic training of what they expected for them, and maybe also have an interim committee, then move out. And maybe at a certain point make a follow-up, and also it would be like a cycle. We may go to a country maybe 2, 3, 4 times depending on the on what we have observed on that country. However, we will not be doing this alone as a team. We'll be doing this together with our authorities through their Episcopal Conference in particular. So we don't just walk in and say we have come, but surely we have to make those contacts. We would like to come. This is our agenda. They give us the dates, all those. That's why we are saying that as Secretary Generals, we are more of administrators, because we have to make sure that when the team goes in, even if we don't go, but everything should be in place, whom they are going to meet, at what date, all those things. So you have to prepare all that itinerary for them to make sure that when they go there, nothing goes wrong.
I find that in my work, it was very important to have the relationships
yes.
go right.
Yes.
You know, when you have a friendship and warmth and trust,
yeah.
you know, between the various groupings of people and mm-hmm. levels of authority, if you could,
yes.
if you will,
mm-hmm.
That's when things start clicking and happening, and you have cooperation.
Sure.
The other is also something mm-hmm. that happens if you don't have those relationships, that things can atrophy.
Yeah.
And I am certain with the nature that you have, with the knowledge that you have, Joseph, that you will do real well. I know that you have spoken to us, last time we talked about the books that you have written,
mm-hmm.
and we have, Bev and I have read, and actually we have read out loud one of your books, Unleashing Leadership in You.
Yeah.
Joseph has written some really fine things. He's also written a book called How to Lead Others While Leading Yourself, and the Triangle of Life. These
okay.
are some of the books yeah. that he's written. And I'm sure that this has a lot to do with him being useful in this particular post and why he was selected.
Yeah, basically, when I look back, to my youthful stage, because even before I got married, I was actually also involved in some of the movements. Like Young Christian Workers, where I was actually also very active from the parish up to the national level, and as a leader as well. Then afterwards, as an honorary member, where I would actually be called to settle some disputes. Then also I've held a few other positions within the church structures. Even the Christian Family Movement, for close to about 7 years, as a couple, we also held a Secretary General for Longa Diocese, But we could frequently be called to the national office to assist, mainly on the formation, on the formation part of the movement. So we could go there, do presentation on what the movement stands for. And my topic now as an individual, not as a couple, because as a couple, we would present the what the movement starts. But now, as a person, I was given the leadership issue to say, can you explain to us what a leader means? So you find that my writings, like in the Christian leadership or in how to lead others by leading yourself, is an experience that I've gathered all along as a leader, right from my young age to the present stage. And my feeling is that as we embark on this this journey, we have more experiences that we can share with other people. Because the issues like triangle of life is actually basically this way. Okay, why is it that some families are able to go further than others? So I find that it is always to the three points that maybe as a couple they don't have direction, as a couple they don't have principles to guide themselves, as a couple they don't actually sit down and reflect. Why are we in this state? Because you cannot just be moving without having a place. So, yeah, you find that my writings will have a direct or have a direct impact on what I've gone through in various organizations, in various employments that I've had, and I'm trying just to say, okay, fine. I think I just have to leave something for other people to know from. I may not have benefited 100% because you are only the actor. In fact, the best player is the one who is in the stands, not the one who is on the pitch. So, so maybe when people read my writings, they would say, okay, maybe it was not that a good player. We can do this better, something like that.
Well, that's very very interesting observation. Do you have a website, or do you have a manual of some sort, or do you have anything published where people can say, oh, I'd like to know more about the movement?
Yeah, in fact, as we have a website on international level, ICCFM.org.
Okay,
yeah, we are also on Facebook page. They can just log in, International Confederation of Christian Family Movements, then they should be able to get all the information that they want about the movement. It has the mission, it has the team, and what have you.
In the United Church of God, we have several, you might say, little mini movements that are proceeding, you know, with family education and all. My wife and I will be going to a young adults event a week from now, where I'll be speaking to them about coming to conversion as a young adult, and what happened in my life, what happened in Beverly's life, you know, and to be able to talk about these things from a personal way. So I think that what you're doing is just very good in the way that you try to personalize this with visits and with resources. That's great, Joseph.
Yeah, so basically that's what we are in. But of course, maybe as we come to the conclusion, it was more of a surprise to us, but we just said, okay, fine, let's accept it and let's move on. So we are really humbled, and we hope that God is going to give us the necessary energy, necessary wisdom, and resources as well to make sure that we serve the period we have been called to serve. Let's serve.
Well, we are certainly going to pray for the success of what you're doing. Standpoint of, we want to see success in the lives of people. We're interested in your success, we're interested in successful outcomes.
That's key. We need to see the success of other people. I think that's it. If there's more joy when you see people changing out of what you have done, there's more joy in that way. And you really sit down and say, oh, God, thank you very much. You introduced me to these people, and this has been the outcome.
Well, to me, that's the sign of true leadership, is when you're really concerned about others. It's not about you. It's about others and how they grow and how they develop. So this is great. Sure. Anyway, it's been wonderful talking to you, Joseph. This is just, you've just had this position less than a month since you have been inducted into this particular office. And that's wonderful. I'm anxious to find out, you know, what happens. And I certainly hope that someday we can meet in person. It's been 4 years, almost 5 years since we've come to Malawi. And I just pray that we can see you again. We have many wonderful people that we have gotten to know over the years. And if we ever get back to Malawi, we also want to get back to Zambia and South Africa and all those places that we have worked with people. Anyway, is there anything else you'd like to comment on here before we leave?
Not much, but only that as I think as the world, as the people who have been put in this world, we need to be very much responsible to make sure that the family is protected. Because no matter what we do, no matter how much technology we may have as a people, the family is still the basis. If we are to have best scientists in this world, best people who can teach the world, then the family becomes the core of everything. Mm-hmm. So I would call all other religious organizations, even organization, whether religious or whatever, to make sure that the family is protected. It needs to be protected in such a way that parents need to take up the responsibility of taking care of their children. But also, children as well need to have that responsibility of make sure that their parents are respected. Because if the parents are gone, they are going to be parents as well. Now, if they cannot respect their parents today, just of them not being respected by their own children is very high. Thereby creating a very chaotic world. So it's a call upon everyone, be it religious, be it political, being whatever. Let's take care of the family because that's the only future we have as a world, as a nation, and as a community.
And that's a very beautiful closing statement. I appreciate that, Joseph. Thank you very much. Thank you for listening. We hope to talk to you again.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to us today on The Cubic Report. We welcome you to share this podcast and tell your friends about it. We can be found on a variety of platforms, including Apple and Google Podcasts, Pandora, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, and many other platforms. You can easily find us at any browser address box by typing in the words, The Cubic Report, and there we are. Remember, Cubic is spelled K-U-B-I-K. We'd love to hear from you. Write to us at vcubic@gmail.com. That's vkubik@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. Come back soon for more.